Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. His grace and mercy and peace be to you through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior. Our gospel reading this morning from the 20th chapter of the Gospel of St. John. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. This is the good news of Easter. Please be seated. I have read John's account of the Lord's resurrection who knows how many times. But this time, as I was getting ready for today, I saw something that I didn't see before. Four little words that caught my attention. It was still dark. It was still dark. Now, Mary Magdalene had been with Jesus all the way. She had seen lives made new, bodies healed, eyes and ears had been opened. Jesus saved her own life, having cast seven demons out of her. She had heard the complaining of the disciples and the criticism of the religious leaders. She saw how the crowds adored Jesus and how the rulers hated him. She stood there under the cross as they killed him, and she went to the tomb as they entombed him, and now it was all over. Yearning to at least give her Lord a proper burial, she makes her way to the tomb very early on that first day of the week with a heavy heart, and it was still dark. Now, when St. John tells us that it was still dark, that is not just a reference to the time of day or to the pre-dawn condition of the sky. This is not an inconsequential detail that is good for little more than to be included as a question in a game of Bible trivia someday. But St. Paul wrote to Timothy that all Scripture is God-breathed and useful. Useful. The Holy Spirit is not one to waste words. So I'm pretty sure that when the inspired Apostle John told us that it was still dark, there is something there for us, something in these words for our instruction, for our encouragement. It was still dark. In John's gospel, you see, darkness is more than the absence of sunlight. In the very first sentences of John's gospel, he speaks of Jesus as the light of men. And he says the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. In John's gospel, darkness is a spiritual force of ignorance, such as we saw in Nicodemus, who came to Jesus in the darkness. Darkness is the work of Satan's kingdom, doing shady and evil things, such as we saw in Judas when he betrayed Jesus in the darkness. And it was pure darkness that was at work during those fateful days since Jesus had been arrested. And because the minds of Mary and of the disciples were darkened by their ignorance of God's plan for his Christ, they were now consumed by the darkness of their discouragement and their disappointment and their unremitting grief. Oh, it had been a good 3-year run with Jesus, but now it was over. And the only thing for the disciples to do was to clean out their lockers, head home, maybe take up fishing again. For Mary, that poor lost soul, Satan's kingdom was having a heyday with the followers of Jesus, and it was still dark. And that same darkness is no less busy in our lives. It is at work in us, internally, just as it was in Judas, blinding us to the things of God, the things that are true and noble and lovely, while at the same time inciting us from within to produce the fruits of darkness. You know, we just can't seem to help ourselves. We engage in arguments that erode our relationships. We perpetuate self-destructive habits. We speak barbed words that are meant to wound and to kill. We lie. We steal. We lust. We envy. We gossip. And it is still dark. Right in here. But it's not just the darkness from within. Darkness is also an external force in our lives, and it often leaves us standing with our dreams in shambles around our feet. A child has gone astray. An employer has handed you the pink slip. The lab test comes back positive. A loved one has been taken from you. Or you wake up to hear the news of yet another terrorist attack. Darkness and discouragement come over us in times like these, like the approach of ominous storm clouds. And we speak of dark days in our lives because it is still dark everywhere. And what's darker than death? Death makes a complete mockery out of everything that we celebrate in this world, everything that we think is important. Death mocks it. Birthdays, New Year's. But why celebrate that which just brings us closer to the grave? Oh, you can try to stimulate joy artificially with parties and merrymaking and candles and drinking or anything else that pleasures the mind and the body. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die, says the poet. That kind of fatalism is just another manifestation of the darkness. You can party all you want, but it's still dark. Success? But why strive for anything that death is going to bring to nothing? So what if you were handed that diploma, or you were decorated for valor, or you amassed a fortune, or you filled up an entire trophy case? Solomon says in Ecclesiastes, meaningless, meaningless. It's all just a chasing after the wind. 100 years from now, who will care? Who will even remember? Death has wiped it all out, and it's still dark. Life itself. But as one song says, we are all soldiers on the march to death. Life is like the baton death march. And we know where this path is leading, and we cannot escape it. Even if we're walking in the sunshine right now, off in the horizon, in the distance, there are no brightening of the clouds. There are no streaks of the dawn of morning. The poet says, you know, you can rage against this dying of the light all you want. You can refuse to go gentle into the night, but that doesn't change anything. You can rage against death all you want. Death still gets you, and it is still dark. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark. In the midst of all that darkness, both that external darkness and that darkness that is within us, there is but one ray of light, one word of hope. While it was still dark, Mary saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. And not knowing what was happening or what to do next, Mary could only think to run back to the disciples and to tell them that somebody had taken the body of their Lord. Well, that got Peter and John's attention, and they immediately headed out to the tomb in a little foot race. They both got there. They both saw the same thing, the open tomb. The burial linens lying there neatly. Peter and John left the scene, and Mary, who had apparently followed them back to the tomb, was now left alone. And in her grief and bewilderment, she hears a voice. "Woman, why are you weeping? Who are you seeking?" Was the sky still dark at that time? Probably not. Probably by this time, by the time Mary had run back and forth from the tomb, the eastern sky, or maybe I should say the eastern sky, was beginning to brighten, just as it is right now. But it was still dark inside of Mary. The death of her Lord had made a shambles of her dreams. His burial meant that everything that she thought was important was now meaningless. There was still no escape from the iron grip of darkness upon this world. It was still dark until Jesus said to her, "Mary." And turning to look, it was as if eyes adjusted to the darkness are suddenly hit with the full brightness of the noonday sun. She must have squinted and rubbed her eyes to try to adjust to the sudden brilliance of the surprising new reality that was now confronting her. "Rabboni! Rabboni," she said. "He's risen." And in that instant, all the darkness in her heart and in her soul was immediately chased away. It is just as St. John had said, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Easter is God's answer to the darkness of sin, the darkness of death, the darkness that is in your life and in your heart, and the darkness that is in this world. Easter is the answer. I like the post that I have seen recently on the internet. How big is Easter? Oh, it's only the answer to pretty much everything. And indeed it is. It is the answer. Easter is the answer to the darkness of our sin. Because Easter proclaims that God has accepted the sacrifice of His Son for the sins of this world, and all is bright and all is light because we stand forgiven and at peace with God because of Easter. Easter is the answer to the darkness of this surrounding world. It is the assurance that when all is said and done, when the terrorists have made their last cowardly attack, when we have been let down one last time by a politician, when the last act of persecution has been perpetrated against a Christian, when the last casket has been laid into the grave, when the last marriage has been rent asunder, when the last parental heart has been broken by a prodigal, when the last anxious, sleepless, tearful night has been endured, all of that darkness will give way to the glory of our risen Lord. Upon His return, when He raises up to eternal life and light all who believe in Him because of Easter. Easter is the answer to the darkness within us. Its brightness shines in our hearts and souls as the Holy Spirit begins a process of change in us. A change just like the change we've seen this morning from night to day as the sun comes up. Now we have a sanctified will. And now we strive to put those former ways of darkness behind us and instead to live as the children of the light. Daily we try to drown that old Adam with its sins and its evil desires, and we arise up out of the waters of our baptism to live before God in light and in righteousness and purity forever. If there was no Easter, it would still be dark. We would rage against sin and death, but it would be of no use. If there was no Easter, the only possible end to the reign of sin would be for humanity to completely self-destruct. If there was no Easter, the day of our death would hold no promise of brightness. If there was no Easter, the bars of hell would be forever locked and misery would be our eternal cellmate. But Christ is risen. The women and the disciples did not find the body of Jesus that Easter morning because, as the angel said, he is no longer here. Come and see the place where he lay. And now, 2,000 years later, no matter where we are, no matter who we are, no matter how old we are, no matter how dire our circumstances, 2,000 years later, here we are. And we are taking up the invitation of the angels. And we gather in the early morning hours and through the eyes of the women and the disciples and through words from heaven, we too peer into that tomb. It's still empty. Sin is forgiven. Death is defeated. Salvation is assured. It is Easter, and it is no longer dark. It is Easter, and all is light and bright. And we sing this song of Easter. Will you sing it with me? Weeping be gone, sorrow be silent, death put asunder, and Easter is bright. Cherubim sing, O grave be open, clothe us in wonder, adorn us in light. Jesus is risen, and we shall arise. Give God the glory. Alleluia. Alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. And it is no longer dark, but all is light. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.